stopped to wave to fans who were standing close to him outside the hotel. What if Secret Service agent Timothy McCarthy hadn't spread his body around Reagan's and taken a bullet? What if Jerry Parr hadn't noticed the bloody handkerchief Reagan lowered from his mouth? What if Washington, D.C. traffic had delayed driver Drew Unruh's arrival at the hospital? Every single second counted. The strength of character of the men hired to guard, drive, and protect Ronald Reagan began to save his life. The skill and speed of the emergency room staff, doctors, and nurses completed the task. This book is a tribute to them, medical staff who worked to heal each patient as if he or she is the President of the United States, and the men and women tasked with protecting world leaders. The best of them display the selflessness of true patriots.
Prologue. Washington Hilton Hotel, Washington, D.C., March 30th, 1981, 2:27 p.m. It takes just 1.7 seconds for John Hinckley to fire all six bullets. The assassin is immediately punched in the head by a nearby spectator, then gang-tackled by the crowd. Hinckley is buried beneath several hundred pounds of angry citizens as Secret Service agents try to take him alive. Ironically, their job is now to protect Hinckley with the same energy they devote to protecting the president. As John Hinckley is subdued, three of his victims are fighting for their lives. One of them is the 40th President of the United States, Ronald Wilson Reagan. Part 1. Chapter 1. Convention Center Music Hall, Cleveland, Ohio, October 28, 1980, 9:30 p.m. 5 months before the attempted assassination, Ronald Reagan strides to his lectern for the 1980 presidential debate. The former movie star and two-term governor of California is hoping to become president of the United States at the relatively advanced age of 69. His hair is black and his high cheekbones are noticeably rosy. At 6 feet 1, 190 pounds, Reagan stands tall and straight, but his appearance does not intimidate. Rather, he looks to be approachable and kind. With more than 50 movies and many television shows to his credit, Ronald Reagan is a familiar face to most Americans. The governor's opponent is incumbent President Jimmy Carter. At 5 feet 9 and 155 pounds, the slender Carter has the build of a man who ran cross-country in college. In fact, the president still makes time for 4 miles a day. Carter is a political junkie, immersing himself in every last nuance of a campaign. He has made a huge surge in the polls over the last month. Carter knows that with 1 week until the election, the race is dead even. The winner of this debate will most likely win the presidency. As both Reagan and Carter well know, the 1970s have been a brutal time for America. In 1974, President Richard Nixon resigned under suspicion of criminal activity in the Watergate affair. The unchecked growth of the Soviet Union's war machine and the American failure to win the Vietnam War have tilted the global balance of power. At home, inflation, interest rates, and unemployment rates are sky high. Gasoline shortages have led to mile-long lines at the pumps. And worst of all, is the ongoing humiliation of 52 hostages still held in Iran after radicals stormed the American embassy in Tehran in 1979. A rescue attempt 6 months later failed miserably, resulting in the deaths of 8 American servicemen. 1 week from today, when U.S. citizens go to the polls to pick a president, those 52 hostages will have spent exactly 1 year in captivity. The United States of America is still very much a superpower, but an air of defeat, not hope, now defines its national outlook. The American public, Democrat and Republican alike, is in a patriotic mood. People long for a return to simple, straightforward American values. The small theater in which the debate will unfold was built shortly after World War I, at a time when America had flexed its muscle on the world stage and first assumed global prominence. But tonight, there is a single question on the minds of many of the 3,000 people in the auditorium and the 80.6